Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome everybody to the study session for Mesa City Council for Monday, March 4th, 2013. Looks like Councilmember Summers is not with us. Is he on the phone? I guess he'll join us when he gets on the phone. Okay, the first item on the agenda is to review the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting. Items 2 through 3C. Items 4A and 4B. Yes, Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I have a question on 4A. It's either for Mr. Brady or Mr. Wright. This is, we're replacing a graphic system that crashed, I guess, recently. And I know that from a number of tours that I've done with Channel 8 that our equipment is, Channel 11 is, I do it all the time, that the equipment at Channel 11 is as much as 20, 25 years old, and that I'm wondering what are we doing in terms of plans for upgrade and replacement of equipment such as we have here.
Thank you. Mayor, Councilmember Kavanaugh. Our equipment in Channel 11, it's pretty antiquated. And we're working with, as part of our budget process, at least we are putting together kind of an overview so we can update the city manager on where we are.
I think just to add to that, we've asked Stephen Soch to put together kind of a multi-year plan so we can kind of see what's coming up, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we have a five-year kind of a strategic plan to put it out over that period of time. And the issue, particularly with this system, the Chiron system that we're talking about, is it not only provides the character generation and the graphics that you see on the Channel 11 that talks about what agenda item is, what the city council is, who's speaking, but that is also critical in the archiving because we are the public archiving of those meetings. And so because we don't have the Chiron, when somebody goes out to access that, it's very confusing because they won't know what agenda item is on. And so it's really critical for our transparency and being able to provide ease of access to those public files.
And I look forward to seeing the overview of the equipment. Again, I know that you have wizards at Channel 11 that keep the place running, and the one sitting right next to you. I think people are amazed at the extent of programming. I think you do more programming than any other similar Channel 11 station in the Valley. And I know that I think you're going to have some good opportunities for internships with the colleges coming downtown. So I'm hoping that as part of the budget process, we can, one, understand the importance of replacing equipment like this, but also upgrading the other equipment that you have to help you keep the good quality service that you have.
Thank you.
I will say this one thing about our Channel 11, and Glenn and his crew does an incredible job in putting out original programming with the staff we have. I know other cities have staffs that are much larger, and we do produce more original programming than I think any other, and as a one-time a couple years ago, even more than Phoenix, who had a much larger staff. As a matter of fact, there was a some media outlet, I don't know if it was a newspaper or whatever, who did an expose on the Channel 11 staffs around the Valley, and they excluded us because we weren't a story. The reason we weren't a story is that our staff produced so much, and they were so much more efficient than any other city in the Valley as far as the amount of original. And when we say original program, that is broadcasting council meetings, study sessions, and other things when they go out. And this is all about communicating with the public. We did such a we were so efficient and effective in doing that that we sort of messed up their story, which is look at all this money that is being wasted. This was at the height of the budget thing. So you guys, I know you operate a lot on literally chewing gum and baling wire. And I guess you could look at this in two ways. We're spending this much to replace. But on the other hand, we didn't replace it until it literally broke. Mm-hmm. So the fact is you took an old thing and you made do with it and took it clear out till the day that it literally broke down. And I do agree with Steve that it is essential that we have the types of tools where people can easily access these archives. That is the ultimate part of transparency. So I appreciate what you guys do. You do a great
thank
job.
You, thank you, Mayor Council.
Thank you.
Anything else on 4A or 4B? Councilmember Finter?
If we could.
Or Vice Mayor, excuse me.
No, that's fine. If we could do.
2 years and I was still calling Summers. Okay. So get used to it.
That's fine. 4C, would we have just like a minute overview? This came through Audit and Finance with regard to the print services and others. It's really a big money-saving endeavor, and you talk about all the good things that are happening, rethinking. Maybe you could just give a quick overview. And we rarely do a good job of telling folks how much money we're saving them. So.
Okay. Paul, do you want to jump in?
Sure. Sure. So the Managed Print Services
hey, program. Why don't you do this? Why don't you
introduce yourselves?
Introduce yourself because unfortunately we don't have the graphics. We don't have the graphics on the program.
The graphics
so everyone knows who
Paul
you are.
Calaba. I'm the project manager in ITD that was responsible for implementing the system. We went through a vendor selection for management services, had quite a few vendors that responded. And
I'm Angie Earle, IT manager for desktop. I'm the sponsor for the project.
Sorry, Angie. So this is our first time up here for me. So, we had a bunch of vendors come in and AOT Xerox. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Xerox name. Arizona Office Technology was the winner of that bid. So we have gone through a large effort of planning for this. We have done an assessment in all the city departments. That took about 3.5 months to complete. So we've actually gone out and touched every single printer device in the city. So we have 1,700 printing devices in the city. And what they've done is put together optimization plans, sitting down with the departments for every department on how we can reduce our fleet, introduce new devices that have new technology, and incorporate some of the new features in these multifunction printers such as faxing and secure print, things of that nature. So it's been a very good exercise for everybody. I think it was a little eye-opener for people, for departments, as to how much they were spending on printing and what we could do for them with this managed print services program. So I think all in all, everybody's really looking forward to it. So we're going to have a start with them taking over our current maintenance, which Signature is doing today for us. So they're going to displace Signature for the existing device maintenance. And then we're going to create a plan with the departments on a prioritized rollout of these optimization plans for every department in the city. And
the savings overall?
So the savings overall is over $300,000 per year. And we expect to see that every year. So it's just a good win-win because we also have a really aged fleet of devices out there. Some of our devices are 10 to 12 years old. So departments are really looking for something because we never really funded a cycle replacement program for printers. We've been doing it for PCs for quite some time. So this is a good way for us to introduce newer technology for printing for departments as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For bringing it up, Vice Mayor. Anything else for 4C, 4D? 4E through 4G? Items 5A through 7A? 7B through 8D? And 8E?
Mayor, if I may, on item 8E,
Mr.
I did
leave
at your place an additional piece of information connected with item 8E, the rezoning out on this parcel at Sossaman and McKelps. As part of the Planning and Zoning Board approval and the companion to the case steps, we didn't get it into your packet that you got on LegStar previously. It was sent out earlier today, but just so you had a hard copy. And again, this reflects what was approved by the Planning and Zoning Board.
Okay. Thank you. All right. The next item is a presentation, discussion, and provide direction and request to expand the service area of NEDCO's Business Development Loan Program.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tammy Albright I'm the Director of Housing and Community Development, and this is Terry Benelli. She is the Director of NEDCO, or Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation. The reason we're here this evening is to request to modify their contracts to expand their service area for their business development loan program that they have in conjunction with the city of Mesa. The current area is just the original square mile. So it's pretty limited. We currently have two contracts with them where they can spend up to $50,000 per business. They also provide technical assistance. We're not proposing any other changes to these contracts other than the service area. The goals would remain the same as outlined in the two original contracts. Those contracts were one that was awarded in 08-09 for $225,000. The other one was in 10-11 for $177,000+. We've only been able to do four business loans with these two contracts in the total of 160. NETCO's indicated that it has become difficult qualifying the businesses in such a limited area and with the light rail coming through. NETCO is also a registered Community Development Financial Institute, or a CDFI, in which they do loans through U.S. Treasury. They can issue loans in any low to moderate area through that program, but they focus primarily in Mesa. In contrast, same amount of time, they were able to do 37 loans at almost $1 million just by expanding the area just slightly to where you see on the map of the blue and the pink area. So our proposal, in conjunction with NEDCO, would be to allow us to expand the two contracts we have, their service area, to the entire city. However, we would ask that they still prioritize where they put their focus at. The first focus would be still the downtown business area. The second would be the economic development employment centers. And then the third would be the remaining city. The reason they can go anywhere in the city and they're not subject to just the low to moderate income areas is because under CDBG, with these contracts, under economic development and the national objectives, it's a job creation. So any loan they give out there, they just have to make sure that 51% of the jobs that are created are held by low to moderate individuals. This also helps with our expenditure requirements with HUD. HUD doesn't really like any contracts sitting idle. They want to see that money flowing, and so it helps us with some of those expenditure requirements as well. One of the other reasons we recommended the full city was there's areas around Fiesta Mall that are not in low to mod areas but definitely could use some assistance.
Can I ask a question
before you
sure.
go? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Mayor.
Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you. The blue things, can you tell me what the difference between a LMI block group is and a census tract? Because that's the first time I've seen the blue.
The blue. It jump in here if I get this wrong, but the entire census tract, when it's considered a block, qualifies for 51% low to moderate individuals' incomes. Whereas when they take it down to a tract, there's a large enough tract or neighborhood in there that would qualify for low to moderate income levels. But if you take the entire tract together, it wouldn't qualify. So those are areas that still qualify, but they're just not large enough to be the whole tract.
And I believe that some of those blue areas are have a lot of commercial or retail space in it, and usually the low to mod has to do with the income level of residents. So those areas have predominantly businesses in them. So
how does that, the big pink area that includes Falcon Field-ish, north of Falcon Field, how does that end up in a low mod income census tract when there's no houses in there? Or if there are, there's like three. No, there's not. So...
And the income levels of the homes that are in there would qualify.
So they could be on retirement incomes,
so
I imagine?
I thought...
In that area.
Okay, so this is what's confusing. I swear you just said the opposite.
I don't think that there's businesses located in that pink area up by Falcon Field. I think there's actually residents that are located there. It's not predominantly business. It's predominantly residential that are...
Well, nope. For instance, Williams Gateway, there's House of Refuge.
Right.
That would then
yeah,
those the, are
the one
only
on
Falcon homes.
Field goes actually goes clear over to Wrecker.
Yeah, there's no houses. Oh, Wrecker,
sure there
it picks
are.
Up
between
that
Higley and Wrecker,
between
there's,
Higley
yeah.
Wrecker, a lot of retirement communities.
Yeah.
But the question is, I thought you said the blue area was predominantly businesses with little census tract.
No, it's the blue areas are a defined neighborhood that would qualify for low to moderate income levels in of itself, but within the whole track, if you took the entire track, the track itself would not qualify. So they take it down a little bit, but it's still large enough area that they
So even though there might not be houses, if it's a census tract per the definition, which is some other definition somewhere else, there's government census tracts, right? I get it. So there's another definition.
We're just trying to maximize every opportunity.
Right. Yes.
Whether it qualifies for the whole tract or a subset of that.
The word tract means something, and there's a definition across our city of tracts.
Yes.
So is what I'm hearing is that if we expand to the whole city, we pick up all these other things in both pink and blue.
And all the white.
Yes.
Okay, so is there any part of the city, then, if we take in all the city, that seems to be all-inclusive?
It is. That's
so it doesn't matter whether it's pink or blue?
Right.
That's what you're saying.
The pink or blue is where NEDCO is held to for the U.S. Treasury loan program they have.
Yeah.
And we just showed that into comparison, that just by expanding just that little bit, look at the difference in the loan activity. Whereas if we could
if we wanted to limit it to those areas, we still expand the area, 10, 12 fold.
Oh, sure.
But if we go to the whole city, where we can pick up individual little pockets, because like you said, we can see that there are, especially in the more mature areas, there are pockets that could be surrounded by areas that keep it out of qualifying, and yet that little pocket would make it, there's a real need there.
Right.
But because of the side of the line that they were on, the side of the street, they would be excluded. And what we're saying is we want to go where the need is, not necessarily where the line goes.
Right. And that's why we put the priorities or the focus areas that we will write into the contracts too. So that the first one would be the downtown, second would be employment centers, and then the remaining city.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Any other questions?
I think it makes sense now. Any other questions? Well, provide direction on a request. Do we need a formal action to do this, or do you need to come back with a formal proposal?
No, I think we can take a formal action at this point, and then we can modify it. We just need you to tell us we can modify those contracts.
Right. So do I hear? Okay. I'm sorry. What?
We need that direction.
You need direction to come back with a formal proposal, or do we take a? Can we take a formal approval accepting the staff recommendation?
You have the authority to sign them, Chris.
Right. Make that change.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I just want to know how the paperwork flows.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know whether. Now, Mr. Brady, are you in a white area, a pink area, or a blue area?
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
No.
All right. Any problems with that direction on the council? No. Okay, seems like you have your direction.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Okay.
Yes.
Your reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Any reports? I had something on Saturday. Had the great pleasure to attend and watch, not participate in. I won't take credit for that. The Phoenix Marathon, which is held in Mesa, but we're okay because in just 2 short years, the organizers, who are primarily all Mesa people, have created something that's really quite special. And they turned, literally again this year, thousands of runners away. And still had, there were 5,000-10,000 people. 6,500 runners, which means at a given time at Riverview, there was probably over 10,000 people hanging around the finish line. And when you include the runners and the families and everything, and it was a great sight and very well done. You could tell it was well organized and well put up. And talking to a lot of the people who were participants, most of whom I talked with had come from out of city, certainly, and some out of state. Who just raved about the course, which started up in the Usury Pass area, came through a lot of different neighborhoods in Mesa, ended up at Riverview, and there were 3 different races that went on, a marathon, half marathon, and a 10K. Just congratulations to them for creating a great event. And it's to the level where it's a Boston Marathon qualifier, which I guess in runner parlance means that it's a big deal. So congratulations to those organizers, and we look forward to more success in the future, even maybe finishing there at Riverview or across the street in the new Riverview Park, the stadium, whatever. A lot of potential, so congratulations to them. Yeah, Councilman Richens.
Wanted to announce that a prominent Mesa citizen and a constituent of mine, Ross Farnsworth, passed away this weekend. His services will be held next Saturday with a viewing on Friday night from 6 to 8 at the Mesa North Stake Center, which is at 933 East Brown Road, with services at 11 a.m. Out at the Red Mountain Institute at 7126 East McKellips Road. He's done a lot to build Mesa, a pretty amazing and very generous man, and but he passed away over the weekend after some illness. So just want to let people know that.
And a former member of this council, mm-hmm. sat here in these chambers. So, and a personal issue with mine, Ross was one of the first people that I met coming into town as a sixth grader. His son and I are a week apart in age and live just two blocks apart from each other. So known the family for 40-plus years. A big loss. And I was talking with people over the weekend about, as we see these men and women who have played such a big role over the last literally 50 years in creating the city that we live in now, and have done great deeds of service, and now they're moving on. It's a challenging transition. It's still sort of surreal for those of us who have known Ross for a long time. And the big question is, how well are we filling in? These are the people I looked up to when I was in junior high school, and then as a young father, and really respected them for what they gave to our city and the sacrifices and things outside of these chambers. Ross was well known as somebody who gave generously and helped so many people out. I remember an article that Vi Sikahema, Vi, he moved with his family from Tonga and settled in and became a football star at Mesa High and then BYU and then played in the NFL for both the Philadelphia and the Cardinals here. And he talks about how when his family came in, they were literally almost penniless, knew virtually nobody. And I can't remember how they became connected with Ross. But Ross has been a developer and has several retirement communities around here. And he figured out how to help people help themselves. And what Vi tells a story about how what he did is he got his family performing Polynesian program at his retirement communities. Now, my guess is that the residents of that community probably saw a few more Polynesian shows than they really bargained for, but Vi says that that's what saved his family, and it was obvious that Ross was giving them an opportunity and overpaying them, and that's just the kind of guy he was. He looked for ways not only that he could give a handout, but he could create opportunities for people, and there was a lot of Ross Farnsworths in this community. He just happens to be the one right now we're focusing on because he meant so much to us as a city and to me personally. And I know Alex has known him for quite a long time, for a long time. And so, it's a sad day in Mesa, but on the other hand, it gives us a chance to look back and see all the great contributions we make. I think that every time I go to, and we're acting on something today with the Oakland A's. I hope people, when they go to Holcomm, that they understand, and maybe it's a little bit difficult to understand, when you see the name Dwight Patterson and you look at the history of the Holcomms and you look at the pictures on the wall, that the people who have been builders of this community for such a long time and who have given so much and really given us the opportunities we have today. And Ross was one of those people. So thanks for bringing that up, council member. We look forward to being able to give our respects, and our thoughts and prayers are with the Farnsworth family, and hopefully we won't forget the great contributions, and we'll try to emulate more of what they gave. So thank you, Mr. Brady. Oh yeah, Councilmember Higgins.
Yeah.
Look right ahead.
I just have a point of personal privilege. Today I want to wish my youngest, Sean, a happy 20th birthday. I am no longer have teenagers at home, which means something, but I'm not unwilling to share what that means. I'm getting older. Thank you.
I'm resisting any temptation to make any comment whatsoever on that. I'll just turn it over to Mr. Brady and
thank you.
Be safe.
Go ahead.
All right, so this is a fun weekend in downtown Mesa. This Friday will be the second Friday night out in downtown Mesa from 6 to 10.
a free event with live bands and food and entertainment, so we invite everybody to come down and enjoy the festivities. Then this Saturday, March 9th, is Mesa Rocks Block Party. That's from 2 to 10 p.m. Main Street will be closed off to traffic from Center to Robeson. So we invite all the families to come down, enjoy the activities. There'll be activities for kids, music. So we invite everybody to come down for that. And just a reminder, Council, our next study session will be this Thursday, March 7th at 7:30 a.m.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's no further business. I have a motion to adjourn, Councilmember Glover, second Councilmember Higgins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.